In this edition of the Kingston Pod, it's council tax up, air quality down. And we're going to meet Councillor Ed Fran for the first time and learn a bit about him.
My name is Councillor Kevin Davis, and welcome to the Kingston Pod, where we catch up on news and politics and all the goings on in the Royal Borough of Kingston upon Thames. Plus, sometimes we tack on local issues or even issues from London. This week I'm going to be joined by Councillor Ed Fram, who is a newly elected councillor for Combe Hill Ward. So he's a good bloke, and we're going to get to know a little bit about him and find out what he's made of, and then move on and discuss some of the big issues of the week. So let's get started and let's hear from Ed.
I'm joined by Councillor Ed Fram, who is a new councillor here in Kingston. He joined only last May, first time being elected. So welcome, Ed.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Do you want to just kick off by telling us a bit about yourself? Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah,
why
sure.
Are you here?
So I've been very kindly invited by the leader of the group. Hopefully you know him, Kevin Davis. And as he says, I'm a new councillor for Combe Hill, which is one of the North Kingston wards. And I'm also the opposition spokesperson for adult social care, which ties into my background in health. I'm a local person and...
Born and bred or just...
Born in Wimbledon, which
right.
is
no,
three or 4 miles down the road.
Yeah, and honorary.
Exactly, honorary. Exactly. Spent all my time in the ward bar, maybe a few years. So very close to my heart.
And what do you do now? What's your day job?
At the moment I'm at Grant Thornton, which is an accounting and professional services firm in the city. So for my sins, that's what I spend the 9 to 5 doing.
Excellent. Well, are you a trained accountant then? Is that what you...
No, so I'm in the process of.
Oh, right. Oh, okay, right. Yep. Excellent. Yep. A trainee accountant.
Exactly.
That's very good news. So this week was budget week, which was culminates in a sort of budget council meeting where we set the budget, which is it's probably actually in many respects the most important meeting of the council every year in terms of actually setting the money that's got available to spend over the future years. To be honest with you, the budget got announced in January, and I think it's fair to say that absolutely nothing changed. There was a sort of strange consultation where they had some public meetings, which the leader of the council held and people came along to, but I don't think there's much evidence that any of that changed the budget. I don't think there's any evidence that things said that the various committees that it went through ever changed anything in the budget. So we are where we are, and the reality is that council tax is going to go up by 4.99%, which is complicated, really, when you're talking percentage terms. But if you think about it, when your council tax is as high as it is in Kingston, a 5% increase is very, very different from a 5% increase in Wandsworth,
where it's
barely £700 or £800
exactly,
for a band D. So it's always different. But I think there's some things that may have stood out amongst all the bits and rows and the issues which we've raised previously. One of those, actually, is the issue of air quality. Now, I remember back in, I think it was 2016, during the mayoral campaign, the London mayoral campaign, I said at the time I was really surprised how air quality had suddenly become an important
a big
thing.
Issue, yeah.
Because it had certainly not even registered the 4 years previously in 2012. You've come from a health background. I mean, is it something that you perceive as something the NHS should be doing more about with us, or is it just a council responsibility?
I think certainly, as you say, in the last few years, there's been increasing awareness about some of the dangers of having, pollutants around us, and certainly epidemiological studies would sort of back that up. So from a public health point of view, I'm not surprised that it's moved up the agenda. Quite how we tackle it is another matter.
That is the issue, isn't it? Because it's quite easy to point at things which give out pollution like cars those things, but it's quite another thing to do something about
Absolutely.
It. So the current plan from the Lib Dems on air quality seems to be attacking it on a number of fronts. The first one is stop people driving cars that pollute, or owning cars that pollute, really, which they're tackling by charging more for people who park in CPZs.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm not convinced by that. I think there's so many things that are wrong with that idea that you can push people out of their cars, make them change buying decisions in the future based on a relatively small amount of money that it's going to cost to do it. And I suppose the other thing is that, you know, there are plenty of other pollutants out there that we could probably tackle easier. I mean, I still think buses, for example. I mean, I don't know about you, but buses are the nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think things like buses are very obvious.
I mean, the mayor in London is getting rid of him. But every time he gets a new sort of electric or hydrogen bus in London, he kicks the dirty one out here. On the basis, I presume, that he thinks we're cleaner out here. I don't know. But
not for much longer if that carries on.
Not for much longer if that carries on, no. I mean, we've got a really bad hotspot, though. We've got one in Tolworth Broadway, which is off the A3. Yeah. The other is down near the Rotunda, which is incredibly... But that, again, that's a bus station.
It is, yeah.
And that's, that's what's causing it.
No, it is tricky with public transport, because obviously you do want to be encouraging... people sort of out of their cars and if possible into things like buses, but if they're the ones that are chucking out most of the harmful pollutants, then we're back to square one, really.
I mean, my view on it is, until the government introduces some form of scrappage scheme, you know, in the same way they've incentivized people to buy electric cars, which they're now pulling back on, if they're incentivizing people to sell the rubbish dirty cars, you know, then I think that may be the way around it, but until that happens, I don't know. One thing I did get told last week, which is a bit of a surprise to me actually, was that the second most pollutant part of our world is gas boilers in houses. And I did wonder whether there was something in that we should be doing more about as a council. I mean, maybe we should be helping... I mean, I'm going to get accused of supporting the wealthy, because, you know, they're not all over 75s are wealthy. But I was just going to suggest something like the instead of having winter fuel allowance, maybe that should be directed to boiler replacements for over 75s, because that would help clean up the air.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, people do mention boilers. I've also heard that it sort of lags quite far behind in terms of contributing factor. But certainly, if the evidence is there, then we do need people to be thinking outside of just what's going on our roads. Absolutely, yeah.
And the other thing we did here this week, because we now have a new green councillor, which we've not had before. Didn't start green, although she may well have been green.
She's wearing appropriate coloured jackets.
Was she green or
budget as well? Budget just to remind everyone.
She was wearing her party colours.
That's right.
But I'm sure she has always been green, but she kind of diverted to the Lib Dems, who obviously aren't as green as she thought they were, so she's come and joined the Greens now. She made a really interesting point, and funny enough, I was doing some research on this, about trees, about, you know, we put a lot of store, in fact, both parties had in both their manifestos, we were going to put a lot of trees in, and, you know, that's what we committed to. But actually, there is a lot of research out there now that says that trees don't do the positive thing for air quality that we all imagined it would do. Quite often, it might divert air quality off the pavement by creating a canopy.
Okay.
But it doesn't actually do the things that you think it's going to do in terms of cleaning up the air. So we're going to have to keep looking at this as a council and try and work out what else we can do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting. I'd be quite keen to find out a bit more about that.
Ed, are you a cyclist or not a cyclist?
If it's a binary choice, I'd have to be in the latter camp. I do own a bicycle and I do enjoy cycling, but I can't honestly hand on heart say I'm a cyclist.
Well, you're like me. I live in Berylands, and like you, when I'm coming out of Kingston to get back home again, I have a hell of a hill to climb.
It's not enough to put you off.
So it's great fun coming down, but going back up again, it's just, you know, until I actually get an electric cycle, I think I'm going to probably struggle with it, but there we go. There are you know, quite a lot of issues around go cycling, and it's never been exactly the smoothest ride, shall we say.
Yeah,
it's always had
controversy. You've been working on that part.
I have, yeah. It's always had a certain degree of controversy around it, and I don't know whether you feel we're making progress or not. What's your views about it? You've got it going through your ward.
We do, and I mean, I must say, it has caused a lot of upheaval, obviously, for people in the you know, getting in and out of Kingston, and now, as you say, it's affecting other parts as well. It's always going to be one of those controversial things. Perhaps in the long run, it is the right thing for us to be looking to do. Unfortunately, it sounds like it's going to take even longer than originally anticipated.
That's what I'm hearing. I mean, that was the thing I said at Budget Council, was surprised that they seem to have a 2022.
Exactly.
Which is 8 years.
It's one thing sort of planning for something, but actually the implementation phase is... brought forth all sorts of issues around road safety and such, which we've received from residents. So we're constantly reviewing things to make sure that, you know, when it is finally finished, it makes sense.
Do you think you'll get more people on bikes? I mean, I've been a little disappointed, as I've said before in these podcasts, about, well, the numbers that we're seeing. I mean, they 69% increase. Well, that's not a great deal in my view. This has been billed as being transformational, just not seeing that happening at the minute. I just wonder whether you've got a view about whether hills will prevent people from doing it.
Yeah, I mean, those kinds of figures are quite headline-grabbing, but when you're starting from a low base, as you say, it's perhaps not that impressive. You know, we can't do anything about the topography of where we live, so, I think, you know, unless you're extremely fit, then you are going to struggle with those hills. You know, if it can encourage perhaps sort of younger cyclists or families and the like, then I'm all for it. But
that's a perfect segue into our next bit, which is about the budget, which is children's centres.
Yeah.
Very well done for that. Nice segue. Children's centres, the Lib Dems have proposed closing half of them, so that's four of the eight we currently have.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that there are some that probably should close that aren't necessarily focused on their core activity in terms of the catchment of the parents and children that are going there.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true of all of them. And on top of that, we had quite a presentation at council for some parents who are very concerned about it. I don't know, have you already come, you don't have children, so you've not really come into...
Not yet, but I guess I can say live on air, I've got one on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So in the summertime, I'll be numbering amongst the Kingston parents.
Jolly good. Well, the good news about the children's centres is that it seems, although I wasn't quite sure what they were saying, but it seemed to be suggesting that they're going to not close the four they said they were going to close. Okay. They've obviously been working on this because I don't think they were swayed necessarily by the power of the speech of the parents, although it was very good, to totally do a U-turn. But it sounds like come the end of this month, we might have some more clarity around what that is.
Okay.
What they're going to cut instead, because it was quite a significant sum that they were saving from closing. I don't know.
Do you remember the figure roughly?
It was about 250,000, was the sum.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to have to find it from somewhere.
Yeah,
But they are building a lot of money up in reserve, so who knows what they might suddenly find to bail out
on. Indeed, yeah. And talking of significant sums, I'd say one of the things I was most gobsmacked about was the paltry return that they were willing to accept on their 68 million investment. Was it 0.9%?
Oh, my goodness me.
That was a bit of an eyebrow raiser, I must say.
Yeah, this was... there's a lot of stuff in the news about councils investing in property. Now, every council does it, frankly. Well, nearly every council does it. I mean, some of them, like our near neighbours in Elmbridge, do it to significant national acclaim. I think they've invested £1.8 billion or £1.2 billion over the last few years, to the point where I wonder whether they actually have to worry about council taxes to keep going that way. Such a big property portfolio, you can start cutting council tax. But we had put in the previous year's budget that they could spend £68 million pounds investment, and not unsurprisingly, you expect a return of about 6%, something like that. And after the borrowing and all those costs, it comes down to about 2.5% return every year.
Yeah.
For some reason, which I still struggle to understand, they seem to want to say they're only going to get less than 1% return, which means that for every 68 million you invest, you get about 300 grand a year.
Yeah.
Now, that's just ridiculous. I mean, that isn't worth the risk.
Yeah.
It's just waste of public money. And frankly, if they come forward with that proposal, I for one would be urging them not to risk it, because I don't believe the benefit outweighs the risk.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely mad, but there we go. Budgets are sometimes like that. As I always said, every budget council I've ever been to, the council spends, I don't know, what, £400 million in real sense spends?
Yeah, yeah.
And the budget council ends up debating the last 15,000. You know, as if the world depends on that last 15,000. It's very strange.
One of those things.
So let's catch up a few things that are going on around the borough which are worth some discussion. We've got our, I think we just mentioned it earlier, our first ever, I think it's our first ever green councillor on the council. Okay. We've had independents of many shapes and sizes, but this, I think, is the first time we've ever had a green councillor, which is, well, I don't know whether it's a badge of honour or it's something else that we need to worry about. But actually, I'm not sure that the Lib Dems are too happy about that, but that's the matter for them. Mm. I do sometimes wonder, actually, with the Lib Dems, I wonder what they're thinking around all this new party that's emerging in Parliament. I mean, the independent group, as it currently is, I gather they've now appointed Chuck Rimar
as a spokesperson. That's right,
Sort of de facto leader.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether... What's interesting is that the Lib Dems in Parliament seem to reach out to the independents and were rebuffed, with the independents saying, why would we join you lot, because you're half the problem. You know, you're no different from Labour or Conservative.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does make me wonder. I don't know whether if the independent group grows any further or garners more support, what the Lib Dems will do. Because, I mean, on quite a lot of figures, they're down in fourth in the polls.
That's
the
right,
Dems.
They
are really probably, if there's one more defector to the independents, they become the fifth group in Parliament.
Yep.
And so they look to be sinking. I mean, what's your view? I mean, you've been around as long as I have, so you'd maybe a different take on it. But.
No, I think that's right. I think the independent group, as they're calling themselves, does certainly threaten to eat the Lib Dems' cake and that sort of central ground. So, yeah, if I was a Lib Dem, I probably would be feeling a bit nervous.
Well, let's see how that develops. Nobody ever wants to talk about anything else on Brexit, really, but I'm trying to avoid that, and I did mention...
I deliberately avoided the B-word
there.
Sorry,
I managed to slip it in. I'll say my confession afterwards for the church. The other thing I was going to mention this week is that there is this... I think it's this year, is the 12th year of Green Radio. And there is a debate coming up called the Great Green Debate. Mm-hmm. I must admit, I can't remember the date of it. It's sometime, I think it's next Wednesday.
Okay.
But they're holding it on radio, obviously, the Great Green Debate. Yep. There's MEPs there. In fact, the Conservative parliamentary candidate, Afra Brandreth, is going to be
She tweeted about it, I think, a couple of weeks back. Yeah.
So that'll be quite interesting, actually, because that previous discussion we were having about what do we do about air quality, it may be something that they have a discussion around. Mm. It'd be interesting to see what their views on it are.
Yeah, absolutely. I went along to an event actually at Kingston University, which was all about the council's drive for cleaner air. So, and it was quite a good working lunch, I suppose it was, and quite a lot of good thoughts came out of that. But it's sort of actioning those.
Yeah. So the hospital, actually, just moving on slightly from that, is the chief executive of the hospital is leaving. I think that was announced some time ago. And a few months back, they were being awarded as the best hospital in Southwest London for maternity, amongst other things.
Yeah.
I was reading today that they've now been announced as one of the best top 10 hospitals in the UK.
Really? Right. Okay.
On the basis of staff surveys, which I think is really interesting if the staff are really committed. So... in some respects, the new chief executive, whoever they might be in the future, has probably, you know, got a great place to come to. On the other hand, they've also got standards to maintain. So we'll have to see what happens to the hospital over the next few years.
Very true, very true. But I know they had some encouraging CQC reports as well. And as you say, if staff are happy there, then that always bodes well and filters down into care normally. So
let's hope so. Yeah. Let's hope so. Let's pick up quickly on the CRE, the Cambridge Road Estate, which is going through regeneration. It's not started. We're still in the sort of design phase of it. But that's due to kick off with a ballot over the spring, which will be then finalised in, I think it's the autumn.
Okay.
There's a ballot sort of November time, I think. But the ballot is something which I think it's fair to say I'm not particularly a fan of myself. I didn't think it was necessary. And, you know, we didn't have a ballot as to whether we should do Mini Holland, so I'm not quite sure why we have a ballot to do the Cambridge Road Estate. That doesn't mean you don't involve and engage residents, and we've done that with Mini Hollands. We've also, you should be doing it around designing the future of the state.
Sure.
With residents that are there, but I wasn't ever sure. So there was apparently a public meeting last night on the estate with the leader of the council, which was a bit stormy because the leader of the council has got this view that the question should merely be, do you support the council in regenerating the estate? And I think there's quite a lot of the estate who actually would rather they didn't do anything or spent the money in a different way. So there's going to be a lot of activity around that. I mean, you've lived in Kingston a while, so you know the Cambridge estate because it's kind of butts your ward, I suppose,
not too
in a sense. Have you got any views about the Cambridge estate? I mean, it's...
Well, clearly a lot of people live there and have lived there for a very long time. So whenever a council proposes dramatic redevelopment, it's obviously going to be divisive. I can understand why some people want things to stay as they are. But at the same time, you also have to wonder whether buildings are still fit for purpose. We're nearly in the 2020s now. And obviously you have to make sure that places are fit for habitation. They can be places where people can be happy to live and thrive. And so if there are improvements that could be made in that environment, then perhaps...
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the other side of that, of course, is that we are all in desperate need of more housing. So estates like that are definitely places you can add more housing and more council housing if necessary. I mean, I mean, despite what some like to believe, it was always our view that obviously any estate regeneration has to wash its face. You can't magic money out of nowhere. And you've got to make sure it creates enough money in there to make it viable. So we had always said, look, we've got a certain number of council homes there at the minute, but if the scheme isn't viable to the point where we can't just replace those, then we shouldn't be doing it. But the very minimum, you replace them. But you also get the benefits then of lots of more private and private rented housing and just in quality of the improvements.
I think that's really important. I mean, it's, obviously people are concerned about things like poor doors and there being very obvious segregation. So that's something to avoid, clearly. But as a younger person who's lived in Kingston for most of my life, you know, having an increase in housing stock and ability to get on the housing ladder is obviously something that's of great concern for lots of people.
And I'm hopeful that we can get many more council houses on there. I mean, that was always the plan. So as soon as we started to see what the profit was that the council could make out of the development, that money always had to be put back in and to increase the number of council homes.
We'll
have to see how that goes. It looks like, as we thought it probably would be, it currently looks quite positive on that front. So let's finally just wrap up with some things that are coming up on the agenda over the next few weeks. There's been a lot of talk around special needs education over the last few weeks and some great anger amongst parents of special needs children at the cuts which the council wants to enforce on them. And there is a report that's due to be published next week from something called an Education Commission, which is looking at this and about how it might be tackled. I sense this is going to be a bit of a watermark moment where schools and the local authority and parents of all types, whether special needs or not, are going to have quite a big debate about what the future of education is in Kingston, because it's very, very clear that government feels there's enough money in Kingston for the education system we have, and it's also very clear that schools feel that they haven't got enough money, so there's something's got to give somewhere. And so there will have to be a debate around what the outcome of that is. And at the same time, there's a financial plan that sits behind that, which, as I said at Council on Tuesday, nobody actually believes is ever achievable, because it's trying to take so much money out of schools, something like £5 million. And apparently they're going to do it voluntarily, just hand over the pound notes, which I just feel is slightly bonkers. Well, obviously your child has not yet gone into the education system.
Not yet. No.
Who knows, though, after 4 years of the Liberal Democrats, you might be advised to put her down, him or her, down for a school this summer if you can. And find somewhere.
I've got crazier things.
Well, you never know, do you? So there's going to be a lot of education stuff over the next few weeks around some of that. Specific meetings of the week, quite a few have been cancelled, like the planning meetings and things. But on Thursday, the Chessington, south of the Borough neighbourhood, is holding a community forum, I think they've called it, on community resilience. Not quite sure what that's about, but it would be very interesting because I'm very much a believer in these types of forums as opposed to just meetings, you know, decisions and papers, actually trying to engage the residents. So we'll have to see what happens around that. And then this is now, we're doing this, recording this on Friday. Tomorrow is first Saturday of the week. Of the month. First Saturday of the month, which means it's...
Well, for me, it means it's surgery.
Yeah, exactly. Kingston Lodge it's Hotel. Surgery time. You're at Kingston Lodge, are you?
Yeah, I am. At 10 o'clock, so
right,
please...
Right, at Old Malden Library.
There you go. So feel free to drop by with your questions and queries.
Well, thank you very much, Ed. This has
no
been
problem
your
at all.
First podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll get you back soon and
lovely.
Talk about other things.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
And that's it for this edition of the Kingston Pod. Hope you've enjoyed it. Maybe you've learned something. We've had some fun putting it together. In future weeks, we're going to have more catch-ups, obviously, on what's going on. Hoping to hit the streets as well and talk to a few local people about what their views are about how the borough is run and what they'd like to see happen in the future. And I'll have some other guests in. We'll probably have the Conservative parliamentary candidate in at some point to catch up with her and see what she's been doing since she was selected last year. So that's it for now. Thanks for listening. And if you've got any queries or concerns or issues you want to raise, then just send them in to me at kevin@kevindavis.org.uk. And there's no E in the Davis. Speak to you soon. Bye.